Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show.
Well, hello, hello, everyone. Cloudy day around the Minneapolis, St. Paul. Kind of soupy, kind of muggy, but I'll take it. It's a little cooler. Anyways, today is a special day because there's some words, some concepts I want to get across that are very important in understanding and having a clearer picture of what's going on. Again, welcome. This is Rob Christensen, alias Brother Thomas. Brother Thomas being a newly adapted name based on the history of Disciple Thomas and his good work, and also St. Thomas Aquinas, who did a lot of writing, but he also had an understanding of what anger is, that if things are unjust, anger is okay, that anger towards justice does get things done. And if you're not angry, if there's an unjust situation and it's a moral circumstance, then if you're not angry, if you're not doing anything about it, then you are unjust and immoral. So I go with that worldview that it's a difficult time. As Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org had said earlier, a couple weeks ago in one of his Global Alert News broadcast, that we are, in all of Earth's history, we just happen to be at a time where we as a species are capable of saving this planet or destroying this planet. And it is exactly this time now of all the millennia and millennia and millennia of living history. So we are at a critical point, and we are over the guardrail. According to Dane, if you look at all the frontline data of what's happening on this poor Mother Earth, this planet in crisis, this planet with a cancer, we don't have much time left to radically change. So that's why, as my website and the whole theme of this radio program that I do every 2 weeks, called Visible Secrets, Invisible Power. So today's precept, and let me get back to that in just a moment. Today's precept is Bridges for Humanity, Towers of Insanity. So there's two words I'm going to talk a little bit about. My wife's a teacher, and she uses this method called PSYOP, where there's words like bridges, tunnel, power, power structure. So those are important concepts, and by asking people in class to say, well, what do those words mean? What do they mean to you? So as soon as people share the meaning of the word, they get into their personal lives. They personalize what's to be taught. And when they hear other students talk about their definition of the same word, they start getting a good picture of meaning. So if you have meaning and then your personal interest, your personal way of sharing that meaning comes in class, then the concept is easier to teach and the learning takes place much more effectively. So that's what I'll do today. Again, bridges for humanity, towers of insanity. Hopefully that raises a few question mark with people. Why do I phrase it that way? And I like to rhyme humanity, insanity. That's just something I like to do. It's those creative juices that rhymes bring out in my personal life. Whereas others maybe can dance, others can sing. It's fun to be creative. Well, let me go on and introduce the topic. The word bridge came to mind. As troubled as we are, awareness is opening up. People standing with pitchforks, there was an interruption on my screen. Let me start over again. It startled me. My elbow hit the keyboard. So the word bridge came to mind. As troubled as we are, awareness is opening up. People standing with pitchforks protesting at the luxurious Hamptons is a sign of that awareness. The masses are beginning to understand the evil plot of a rigged system. Thus, rather than the split breakdown of a two-party system, Democrats, Republicans, for example, take courage, act, and transform with an increase of positive energy in salvation's battle. Sometimes I think we feel frozen and we can't do anything, and it gives us a sense of guilt, a sense of helplessness, and, you know, standstill, stuck. But it just takes one little act to get us moving, and it all of a sudden we start feeling good, a bit positive, because we're doing something about the problem. A spider makes a bridge to travel through space and to trap prey as needed, the web of life. People make a bridge to travel over water, to travel over bridges, to travel over railroad tracks, whatever. But they also make bridges to trap their own kind, webs of deceit. These are not needed. This defies natural law, as stated in the parable of the unjust steward. And basically what that says, if you take mammon, or in our day, money, fiat money, money made from thin air, and you depend on it, you worship it, well, this goes back to Genesis. When men, more so than women, declared independence from the Garden of Eden and the Tree of Life, its laws of nature. Parable says is that if we worship mammon, rather than our hearts and God, heaven and earth will pass. And we're at that point right now where this is the great purge obviously happening, as evidenced by COVID-19, as evidenced of the Minneapolis violence that took place after the death of Raymond Floyd. So these are critical times. They're scary times, but not to be frozen in fear. It's a time to get those pitchforks going. You know, people standing at the Hamptons are showing those who are at high wealth and separate from the rest that we're not going to stand for it. And it's not hurting them, so to speak. It's just sending a message. It's communication is what's so critical. Peaceful, disciplined communication that, yes, we have rage for many reasons, but we have to control that rage and work together and forgive those who are, you know, mistaken, and teach them that we know that we're not going to stand for your mistakes. So, but to continue with the bridge discussion, I just want to say it was so interesting. One day at the Omni Theater in St. Paul, Minnesota, I was able to watch a show about skyscrapers. And Bechtel was the sponsor. And by the way, Bechtel was the company that Mr. Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org had worked for as an engineer. And he was turned off by the direction of that company, the military contracts, the armaments, etc. Bechtel does massive infrastructural projects, including oil pipelines, I suppose, or whatever, just major, large infrastructure projects. He had good money. He probably invested that money well, was able to buy acreage out in Northern California, and he put aside life in that company. He put aside mammon. In his heart, he wanted to be with his creator. And the more distant from the craziness of humanity, in many ways, the better he was able to understand and get a clearer picture of how to live. So, anyways, the movie about the building of these towers, for example, it was China, where there's towers that go, they seem like they go a mile high, you know, massive skyscrapers. And they have to do all kinds of technology tricks to make it stable. For example, the wind. They have to make a way for the wind to shield off, shield so that the wind slides off the building. So by putting a whirl, a twist on the building, they're able to escape all the forces of the wind by this clever design. And it's fascinating and fun for those scientists involved to make such a structure successfully and to be proud. But there's something wrong. There's got to be something wrong when I watch a film in all the comfort of a theater on these plush seats in the darkness, looking up at this dome that makes it seem three-dimensional when you watch an Omni Theater film. It just, it's like you're transported right into an airplane flying over the scene. It's a wonderful thing. And here's another factor about a rich, wealthy company like Bechtel, the sponsor of the film, is they had a nonprofit funded effort to make bridges. There were people in undeveloped areas that the company got in touch with or sent representatives to help those people because they didn't have much means for education and whatnot. And natural barriers were in their way. For example, some rivers were such that when a family tried to cross the river to go to school, there was death, drowning, because there were no bridges. So this nonprofit foundation, you know, funded by Bechtel, they hired some very clever engineers who could use the from the surrounding resources, whether it be rocks or twine of some sort from you know, from vines or whatever it was. There were obviously some modern technology, metals and things might have been used, but these were basically bridges built from the land. So it's a wonderful thing. Now people could cross the river safely and go to school and get educated. So this puts Bechtel in this wonderful limelight of being a good company. But again, the whole reason for this this program that I do, this blog, is the danger we face by thinking technology can do everything for us, when in reality, it's a dual use. It can be a weapon, and it can be a help. It can help the population thrive, but it can also allow us to overconsume this planet without any accounting of the cost of what it does to nature. So just think of it. All this, these miles of metal structure that go into a skyscraper, all the glass, all the digging up of earth, all the breaking down of things, all the heat and manufacturing that goes into making a skyscraper. What's that, you know, what kind of future will we have on a finite planet with finite resources? Yet, it just seems the assumption of this movie, or, you know, the makers of the movie, is that we have a planet that won't end, it has forever resources, and we don't have to worry about a thing. And that's where, you know, it goes all the way back to Genesis in many ways, in my opinion, where at some point in time, men learned how to use metal, and metal was used in as a dual purpose, as a weapon to overcome species, to overcome our own. And that's violating the laws of life, the laws of our Creator. When we start killing our own to make more of our own, and being selective and separating ourselves, starting very much with what could have been back then, there's some evidence to back it up, but the tribe of Cain, not just a person called Cain, but a whole tribe killing another tribe of Abel. You know, war had to be invented at a certain point in time. That was an inevitable thing, given a species that had all these capabilities to use words, to communicate, having hands, to make tools, and on and on and on. So, yes, war was inevitable. But I think the message of Genesis says the fall of man is just not some fall of innocence, but really it's the fall of the web of life. And at some point in time, it's the test of any place. Let's say there's 10 planets somewhere in the galaxy, just for hypothetically, that it's up to each individual with such capabilities to connect with the Creator, with nature. Because, you know, the Creator made all these different species, this thriving, diverse planet. It took so long, so many millions and millions and millions of, even billions of years, to get to a point of a thriving, stable planet. Just like soil, when you have bacteria, when you have fungus, when you have nematodes, when you have protozoans, you know, many different creatures, the soil becomes like a living sponge, and it grows deeper. That living sponge, which was in the prairie land, its structure was such that it was very deep and rich, full of oxygen. It drained well. And then, you know, as we found these tools with using metal, we were able to break the soil and break this living sponge for the sake of our food supply, for the sake of increasing our population, at the same time at the loss of the web of life, at the loss of other species. It's, you know, we're competing to the point of hyper-competing. We're starting to break the laws as if we're the Creator ourselves, that nothing else matters. It's just our growth. And as we all know, cancer is a growth that grows and grows until its host is destroyed. So the behavior of man, and I believe more so than women, is such that we've set in motion this growth policy, capitalism, if you will, and it's enabled us to grow our population without limit. And that is so symbolic when you see skyscrapers. you know, it's almost without limit how high we make these skyscrapers. They're a marvel. But at the same time, where does that lead us? You know, it's good to have bridges to help people and, you know, that don't have the tools and means and the education and whatnot. But that becomes a cover, cancer that's so evident. So it's a catch-22. So, you know, the word bridge, I go back to. There's many things that I think of. And I also think of the word bridge as a game. You know, I can't help remember in my young life with my grandparents, it's kind of a genteel game, I guess you call it, the game of bridge, the card game. But the reason I bring up bridge, and I think it's so interesting, is because during the 2016 election, we have Donald Trump. Well, in bridge, we have Trump. You know, when you get a bid and you have a lot of, let's say you have a lot of hearts. Out of the deck of 52, you might have six hearts in your hand, an ace and a king of hearts. Well, then you'd bid hearts. Because you think you, you know, the ace is the highest card. So the ace of hearts is bigger than the king of hearts. So if you play the ace of hearts and if your opponent plays the king of hearts and you play the ace of hearts, you win the trick. And if you get enough tricks, each trick has four cards because there's four people playing the game of bridge. So if you get enough tricks, you win your bid. If you get more than your bid, you get extra points beyond your bid. So it's an interesting game. But back to the 2016 election, it almost seems like political theater where you have a guy named Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton challenging him, says, deal me in. Deal me in the card game, as if they're opponents. But in a sense, they're not. Because they're part of the establishment of this ever and ever increasing divide between Republican and Democrat. And what does divide do? Distracts people from getting things done. So it's kind of like a game, a rigged game. And as Mr. Trump used the game, the rigged system, you know, he say, oh, politics is rigged or this and that. And that has a lot of appeal to people. And not to offend anybody, but Mr. Trump, whether Trump or Clinton or Obama or Bush or Nixon, you know, we go way back. In a way, presidents are puppets of the game. And somehow we have to get beyond this political theater. So I liken bridge. Again, I'm discussing concepts in a personal way. But I liken bridge to where if Hillary was a partner of Trump, Joe and Jill were the other partners. Joe and Jill Public, let's say, were playing against Hillary and Mr. Trump. Then in this game of bridge, it's rigged, in my opinion, because the Joe and Jill Public, they have no trump cards. In other words, if they have good cards, if they had seven hearts with an ace and king high, they could not bid a trump suit. Whereas Hillary and Donald Trump could bid trump a trump suit. So if you have a trump suit, just to understand the game of bridge, a deuce of clubs, which is the smallest card in value, could trump an ace of spades, which is the highest card in value. So let's say Donald Trump bid six clubs. He had a great hand and maybe eight clubs in his hand with high cards. And and I, as Joe Public, played an ace of spades to lead the hand, and then Hillary sitting on my left side, she has to play that suit. So she'd play a small spade, like a four of spades, that would be in her hand. And then my partner, Jill, would also play a low spade because it's we want to get rid of low cards and keep our high cards. But what would Mr. Trump play? Well, he'd play the deuce of clubs. Or, you know, he'd trump that ace of spades because if he didn't have any spades in his hand and he bid trump, then if he doesn't have a spade, he'll throw a trump card. Even if it's the deuce of clubs, it'll take my ace of spades, the highest point value. So this, I'm rambling on a bit, but to me it's just interesting how when you think about the word bridge, there's a lot of meaning to it, a lot of ways you can interpret it. But when we know concepts like bridge, we can get a clearer picture of what's going on. So towers of insanity, again, with that Bechtel tower in China or wherever, you know, it was made. Maybe it was a Chinese company that made it, but there's skyscrapers in any empire because empires have the money to do so. And they have, you know, in some ways they can get money from thin air, fiat money that allows them to, it's like sugar to a human body. You know, if you have enough sugar, you get cancer if you live off sugar. And if we have enough money, well, the human race gets cancer in many ways by unbalancing the environment. So when you unbalance the environment, you know, it sickens the earth. And when the earth, you know, our hosts, when this fiat money is made from thin air endlessly, it becomes of less value, and in a way it becomes a poisonous cancer. So we're coming to terms right now, folks. When you have Siberia at 104 degrees Fahrenheit, with the ice melting rapidly, we're in trouble because extinctions have happened in the past, and they're happening now at full speed. All frontline data, when you look at the life in the oceans, life of insects, you look at phytoplankton, which gives us maybe 60% of the oxygen on Earth, that's dying out. Forest fires exponentially increasing, wildfires, I should say, exponentially increasing. So they have been a carbon sink. Now with all the burning, they no longer are a carbon sink. So the chemistry of the sky, the air we breathe, has changed dramatically. And when I think of bridge, what's the biggest chasm? What's the biggest gorge that we have to cross? Well, that gorge is indeed climate engineering. It's something that, if you're conservative, thinking worldview, you may well believe that, okay, yes, the army, the military, private contractors, whatever, when you look up in the sky and you see a cobweb sky, again, web, bridge, when you see that, they believe that something's wrong. They don't trust government. So they're more easily convinced that, yes, it's a real thing. And then on the other side of the chasm, you have the more liberal folks that, you know, the larger size governments, the bureaucracy government will do good for you, which indeed it does to a certain point. But often the more liberal, progressive, whatever you want, the term you want to call, government is good, so they couldn't be doing anything that bad. So no, there is no such thing as climate engineering. So there's this big gulf. And yes, liberal, progressive, whatever, when they say global warming, they are correct. They can't be correct enough. It's climate shift. It's much worse than, you know, we can even imagine, in my opinion. And, you know, there's frontline proof to that. The Antarctic is melting three times faster than ever before. Three times faster. The Arctic, which we pay so much attention to, because we know that's closer, that's two times faster than ever before. So we've been off the cliff for well over 20 years. There are some articles that Dane Wigington says that, you know, we've only got 6 months left. We really have to change now. We have to stop these fossil fuels. Well, no, that should have been done 20 to 30 years ago. You know, point blank. And I have a saying that when we live off the dead, we're dying off the future. What does dying off mean? Well, when a plant has die off, you have several branches that look sick. And the same goes for wildfires. You know, as Dane says, engineered wildfires, climate engineering uses the chemicals they spray, the nanoparticles of aluminum, barium, and all the plastics, the micro or the nanoparticles of polymers to help suspend what's in the air, what they spray, you know, along with the other chemicals in the mix, all in these aerosols, not condensation trails. So again, we're living off the dead, burning all these fuels. For example, when they spray aerosols, some of these tankers have, 100,000 gallons capacities to fly in the sky and spray poison. Yes, they can manipulate the weather. Yes, they can make it hot. Yes, they can make it dry. Yes, they can take whole countries and turn off the spigot. That's the scary thing. Populations don't know that they're being assaulted. Because, again, what we see is a visible secret, but it's the invisible power. Whether it's the Bechtel Tower skyscraper that takes so much resources to build beyond what this earth can handle, or whether it's the towers of iniquity, the towers of microwaves, towers that manipulate the weather. In other words, with the metallic particles they spray, they can manipulate whole cloud masses, whole regions, by wireless transmission of electricity from radio frequency microwaves that are transmitted by these towers. And they could be cell phone towers. There's graphic imaging of this invisible power, you know, with our technology. There's some good technology where, you know, we can see the invisible because we have the technology to make the invisible visible. So that's why, again, why I recommend, I keep saying geoengineeringwatch.org. Anybody that listens now or later, just look up, spend 5 minutes, go to the left side, find, you know, how to spread spot fires of awareness. Use printed fact photo sheets, a fact photo booklet. It's all with a click. You have complete access. You can get these mailed to you. And the quicker we spread information like this, then the more the equation changes. As Dane Wigington says, you know, we don't know what's in the equation. Frontline evidence says we're doomed. But does that mean we give up and just shrug our shoulders? No. We have our children that deserve every right. I have my own life. I deserve to see things for the better. I don't deserve to see cobweb skies. I do not deserve that. I will fight against that. So again, the words web, the words bridge, the words power structure, and the words tunnel. Those are the four things I emphasize today, whether it's a bridge game or whether it's a bridge made by a spider where it's a strand over space, or whether we as humans are one strand, one bridge of the whole of the web of life. If we're in our place, if Earth does not belong to us, but we belong to Earth, we are one strand of the web of life. And what is a web? It's a connecting thing. It, you know, web feet on a duck, it spreads things out so it enables the duck to swim better. What does a web do? It spreads things out so a spider can catch prey or even water droplets, you know, to drink. And it was interesting last night. I had time to study more about webs and spiders. I asked questions. I used to be in biology. Do spiders eat spiders? Yes, they do. Do spiders eat plants? Yes, they do. You know, almost anything goes in nature. But one thing I did learn is the technology of nature just far exceeds anything human beings could ever do. You know, artificial intelligence is fun and fascinating for people. But I do want to go to a statement that Nikola Tesla said that is so true about the way we look at our own technology and kind of forget about nature's technology. When you see film and modern film and audio, you can even hear what insects sound like. In the imaging, you know, they can do so many tricks to show you the reality of what it's like to be an insect, you know, up close. So it was fascinating to see. But let me get to the Tesla saying here. We'll just take a moment. Tesla said, "The scientists of today think deeply instead of clearly. One must be sane to think clearly, but one can think deeply and be quite insane." So, a note to Elon Musk. What I see of Elon Musk is he's taking the name Tesla, but he's not taking to heart what Tesla said, that indeed Elon Musk thinks deeply. No doubt, he's brilliant, beyond brilliant. But does he see clearly? Obviously not, in my opinion, because when you look at the damage 5G technology is doing and will do. For example, its tight beam will incinerate insects. And electrosmog as a whole confuses insects. They can't find their way. They get, you know, they can't do their job of pollinating plants, which without pollination, we're in trouble. So that's very good. And I happen to have another saying here that is worth sharing that kind of fits into everything, because the concept hyperpredator, you know, like a spider, spider is a predator, but they're not hyperpredators. They'll kill their prey and take what they need, but they don't go around killing everything. In other words, you know, the agricultural revolution onwards, and the war that began in a tribal way and turned into war, has enabled high concentrated power, where we've stepped out of the Garden of Eden and decided to become our own gods with these hierarchies that we've built all the way to empires, where, for example, our greatest empire that we live within has some 700-plus military bases. I'd call that a pointillist empire, where we can activate any of those points anytime we want. I shouldn't say we. I should say the people in power, the people behind the screen, you know, blanketed, not known. Yes, there are public figures like Henry Kissinger, Dr. Fauci, who've been around for decades, who are accepted, who are clever with their words to be accepted, that seem like us, but in reality are hyper-predators. They're part of the dark forces. I'm going off at a tangent, but I'll give you one example before I give the JFK saying. And Dr. Fauci, according to the Jimmy Dore alternative media show, Jimmy Dore says, you know, isn't that something? Dr. Fauci says, we should not wear masks. And now he says we should wear masks. What's his explanation for that? Well, he said, originally we didn't have enough masks, so the good people that were serving the hospitals needed masks, so we just didn't want to give you the information that you should be wearing masks. So what he's saying to the masses, according to Jimmy Dore, is that forget you. You don't count. We'll lie to you, you know. So if a person of that stature, of decades of serving different administration, is able to lie through his teeth, well, how deep does that go? And again, anybody listening, I hope you know that Dr. Fauci, 2017, said there will be a pandemic. Well, how did you know, Dr. Fauci? And why did you work with the Wuhan lab in collaboration from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and the Wuhan scientist to develop a corona bat virus that jumps into humans, gain of function, infecting humans? How did you know? Why did you do that? Over the objections of hundreds of scientists. So JFK warned of such people, and John F. Kennedy. There is a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman, and child. Before I leave this high and noble office, I intend to expose this plot. 7 days later, he was assassinated. He crossed the line of the empire. But it just goes to show how true, how evil, the diabolical level of insane people. Why would our leaders do this? Again, as Henry Kissinger said, power is an aphrodisiac. It's a, you know, it's a mind-altering thing where people climb the ladder of power and they start believing that some people are lesser, and it's separation. So when Bill Gates does experiments with people from Africa, with people from India, and he ups the dosage many times. That's eugenics. You know, people get injured, people die from vaccines. They're neurotoxic things introduced. Yes, they can stop a disease, but yes, they can kill. So who knows what's going to happen to you when you get injected. And if there is a planned eugenics, what about forced vaccination in the future? Well, with all the variants of the COVID problem going on, the novel coronavirus variant come close, and they never will, and they never have in decades. So, again, with all the things that have gone on, like swine flu, AIDS, and the fact that biolabs have existed since before World War II and into World War II and beyond, that, you know, mad scientists, those that think deeply but are insane, have done a lot of damage that needs to be put to light for once and for all. So take a look at the time here. I've got a few more minutes before work. And planning earlier in this program to talk a little bit about some others, including Jesse Ventura and Jimmy Dore. There was an interview. I'm interested in Jesse because he was my governor at one time. Jesse the Body, Ventura, the wrestler, but he won a third party. He won as a 30-party candidate and became government. How rare is that when you break the hex of the Democrat-Republican domination? And he talked, Jimmy said, you know, what we need is a third party because, you know, the establishment Democrats and Republicans, it's kind of the same thing, and they're not doing us any good, as evidenced by this COVID crisis. And, you know, it just, it's a slow burn. It seems to get ever deeper. And as Dane Wigington says, we have 100 times the mortality according to statistics. And however you distrust statistics, why such a discrepancy? 100 times more deaths per capita in the United States than China due to this coronavirus. Okay, well, China's fudging their statistics. But are we not fudging our statistics? There's many cases where somebody dies and it's not from coronavirus, yet they get labeled with death as from coronavirus. Or when tested, they may not be, you know, they may have the presence of the virus, but it's not infectious. They've already been exposed and built up an immunity. So, but let me get to the page if I can find it. And just bear with me a moment. So why a party's name on a ballot? So Jesse was 20 years of service in politics, and he found every roadblock when he went into that. And when mentioning recent events, he talked about National Football, the National Football, and Roger Goodell as the director. And, you know, Goodell now says it's okay to kneel in public. I think we all know about that, you know, during the anthem, the national anthem. But Jesse said, why doesn't he give a direct apology to Colin Kaepernick? You know, that would be good. And also, the Redskins, Jesse says, what about that? Why is that being ignored? Personally, I was part of the protest years and years ago when the Super Bowl was in Minnesota at the Humphrey Dome. There were protests by the Native Americans and other groups about the name Redskins. It's a derogatory, racist name of a football team, yet it still remains. And what a little insight as to what Redskins means, it honors genocide. In Winona, Minnesota, in the 1860s, there was a headline. It said, Governor Ramsey, by the way, I live in Ramsey County, a county named after Alexander Ramsey, the governor way back when. Governor Ramsey raises the bounty on Redskins, $200, which would be thousands of dollars at this point in time. So Jesse said, imagine that. The name Redskins was something where you had a bounty to people. What about that? Why is the word Redskins even tolerated on a football team? So I applaud Jesse for some things, but also I know that Jesse looks at climate engineering as just a hoax. So that's discouraging. I know Jesse was courageous during the Gulf War to protest what was going on, and I applaud that. But anyways, it was a very insightful conversation. And Jesse, in his run for governor, he said he had only 300,000 to run on. And he was advised that, don't go with the younger people, you know, just go with the conventional groups. So what did Jesse do? He turned around and visited every college campus in the state. And what happened in the headlines when he won? It said, throngs of young people showed up to vote. So I really had to laugh at that story because it's true, you know, that Jesse was a candidate where, you know, when asked a question, he answered, I don't know. And people like that because he's honest. He doesn't have to come up with some fakey wording of something he doesn't even know about. He just answered point blank, I don't know. And people understand that. People get it that, yes, here's a leader. He's honest. He may not know information, but if that's the case, then and he will be brought up to speed. People can trust him to learn about something he doesn't know about as long as he doesn't pretend that he does. Because if you pretend that you do know something about something you don't know something about, then you're dishonest. So it's really interesting, some of his reflections of how he got to be that. And there is a movement going on that Jimmy Dore discussed. It's called the People's Party. And, you know, the effort for a third party. And that effort of the People's Party is to say, look, we have elements of Republican, Democrat. We need to join them. We need to join them together to build a third party because both parties have good things and things in common. So let's just pick apart those people with those finer ideas and those finer actions and have a third party. So in concluding this topic for today, which again, I apologize, I'm a rambler, but bridge, okay? Let's have a bridge party, just like the Tea Party. You know, the Tea Party caught on because you could picture these patriots from the past dumping tea in the ocean, you know, like it's in your history book, because they wanted to follow the Constitution. And the Tea Party, you know, being of conservative ilk, so to speak, but there were some very good ideas, I think, that came out. Ron Paul, again, Ron Paul was willing to cut the military in half. We need to defend, not offend. We're, you know, a military should be here to defend our borders, but we should use business and productive negotiations to exchange goods among countries. So, bridge party, that's what we need right now. We need to bridge all this hatred, and it can be done. And you know, the biggest bridge of all is that chasm I was talking about, climate engineering. The conservatives who understand there is a real thing have to get together with the progressives who think that there is no such thing. But out of the exchange, the progressives can say, look, you people, let's talk about heat. We're getting too much heat in this planet. The energy budget is way broken. And then the conservatives have to say, look, you progressives, this is the biggest problem here. We've got chemicals poisoning the soil, shredding the ozone. You know, we have our children getting sick. We have vaccines. We have aerosol sprays. It puts aluminum in our bodies. What does it cause? Autism, Alzheimer's, all kinds of diseases. What a dialogue that would bring, wouldn't it? If we could cross this chasm, this bridge. Do we need towers of power? Do we need towers a mile high? Do we need towers that are so powerful that they can make a heat dome in the sky and cause the whole jet stream to change directions and even influence the currents of the ocean to warm up the Arctic and the Antarctic? You know, it's just complete insanity upside down when you look at every way, every thousands of ways in which climate engineering has accelerated the death, the cancer of this planet. It's number one as an issue. I beg of people, look, geoengineeringwatch.org, it's a credible site. It's an incredible person doing the job of directing this site. And it's an indelible truth that these facts that are there, there's 2,000, 3,000 articles to back up what he's saying. And one of those articles I talked about, again, in Newsweek, Dr. Fauci agrees over the objection of scientists to work on a coronavirus, a corona bat virus in cooperation with Wuhan lab. How can that appear in public and then disappear? You know, what kind of cabal, as Kennedy said, is out there? We simply need to shine light. We need to get our pitchforks out and show people that we do know that this system has to be torn. As Daniel Quinn said, you know, we're all in a prison. As Dane Wigington said, we're living in an insane asylum, and we have to tear it down. It's Donald Trump does not hold the keys to the prison. He's stuck there too. He's another puppet in many ways. All the presidents since Kennedy. Kennedy was the last one, and even Eisenhower. Together, those two. Eisenhower warned of the military-industrial complex, and Kennedy warned of secrecy, keeping secrets, like saying contrails are what jets, what you see when you see lines across the sky. Oh, that's just a contrail. Oh, it's just the conditions of the sky that make those contrails some days and other days not. Well, I ask you this, how come there's film of spraying off and on, where just like a slice of a knife, all of a sudden the trail is not there? And then if you look at the film footage of the play, you can see it sprays on again and off again. No plane would fly like that if those were you know, jet fuel. So another thing I wanted to bring up before I end, we're getting pretty close, is Lisa Fithian. It was with Jimmy Dore that the interview took place. The reason for the interview, again, it was about third parties. We need to bridge people. We need to get out of our deer in the headlights fear and our drunkenness to the conveniences we have, you know, the wealth we have. Like me going to the store and grabbing a plastic bottle of tea anytime I feel like it, and cookies and sweets to get through the night. It's not all bad, but really, do I need to plunder the environment? Can I make my own tea? I've got my own garden. I've got my own greens to stay healthy. Well, Lisa Fithian is just a lifelong, gutty activist woman. She's an older woman who's discussed that, you know, how do we be more bold? You know, when people are in the streets, it leaves those in power no choice, whether it's a company or, you know, the government. When wildcat strikes happen, it leaves a company no choice. So what's wrong with the USA? What prevents impeachment? We're drunk on prosperity. We accept. You know, the courage that's needed. We're addicted to too many things, and fear, it's the security state. You know, there's so much fear that we'll get fired because of all these security clauses. So she wears a shirt and it says courage. When we are depressed, when we take an action despite fear, it sets us free. You know, it liberates us. So that's all we got to do, is just take a small step out of that fear. And it'll start that spiritual atom bomb that we all need to get going, that spiritual power, that undefined, unworded, unmanifested power that is within us that too many, like Bill Gates, think is, you know, separate. You know, we're born on Earth as separate objects, and that seems to be the way some who climb to power think. There's no need for morals. We're just a living piece of material with electronic impulses, and that's all there is to it. And so there's no need for morality. We're just going to do the best we can to take as much as we can. That's what it seems. Or play God. So, yeah, with the pandemic, we can look differently. We can prevent the bailout of oil. When we do something, it transforms. And, you know, especially when we're not individual, but when we act as groups. And again, Dane Wigington emphasizes this too, is, you know, when you stand an individual to authority, it can be done, but it's rare. But when you look for a group to correspond with, you can stand together and face the gathering storm. You can face the authority that's oppressing you. So with that, I'll end. And I'm just looking for anything else in mind that I've left out, but there's no way I can put it all together. Thank you for listening. God bless all.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show.